Blog Talk Radio.
Living.
Spokesperson Harry Fleischer debunked that. Iraq would have been happy to sell us oil. we were sanctioning, because in Saddam, they always personalized Iran to Saddam, we were sanctioning them. And that's a fact. But the destruction of Iraq created a bonanza, a huge investment opportunity, not only displacing our pages here, sorry. Not in Iraq, but in the Canadian tar sands and shale oil fields across the United States, hydraulic fracking, offshore drilling, mountaintop removal. All these were made profitable. Even the whole fracking industry sprang up in the last decade. It was made profitable and possible by the U.S. destruction of Iraq's state-owned oil industry and then its perpetuation of the war in Libya, sanctions on Iran. I want to return to something that was once well understood, which is what imperialism is. And it's not a policy. It's not about hegemony or domination or a need for resources. It is a system. Also known as monopoly capitalism, a merger of finance and industrial capital that rose out of the, it first arose out of the 1873 economic collapse. It was called the Long Depression. It was in the midst of that crisis that Standard Oil of Ohio became the first giant industrial monopoly, and its founder, John D. Rockefeller, became the richest man in the United States. In 2016, in the middle of World War I, he became the world's first billionaire. That was also in the same year that Lenin wrote Imperialism, the Highest Stage of Capitalism. What is the thing that the capitalists most fear? Is it shortages? Is it not enough opportunity to make money? What they most fear is that crisis unique to capitalism, overproduction. What they fear is too much oil, too many cars, too much of anything, too much capital that drives the rate of profit down. And they've been at war steadily. Because too much abundance throws them into crisis. And the last 25 years of war in the Arab world, in the Middle East, in North Africa, so West Asia and North Africa is a more correct, proper term, has been meant to stave off, has been a desperate effort to stave off economic crisis. When they, remember, the U.S. provoked the crisis with Iraq over Kuwait, the very time the Soviet Union was collapsing. And the collapse of the Soviet Union, which was, you know, a big victory for the U.S. in the so-called Cold War, which was not cold in most of the world, posed the danger of cheap Russian, Central Asian, former Soviet oil pouring onto the world market. So they created an excuse to sanction Iraq. But it wasn't enough. In 1998, the price of oil, based on there was a collapse of the ruble, ironically triggered by a speculative assault by U.S. Bankers on Southeast Asian currencies, these Asian currencies that had a ripple effect. The price of oil dropped to below $10 a barrel. Clinton desperately began bombing Iraq, you know, initiated the war in Yugoslavia as well. But it wasn't until, and Clinton's energy secretary, Richardson, was on his knees, begging the oil companies, invest, build pipelines in the former Soviet Union, because if we don't take that oil, somebody else will. And they said, no, we're not going to, unless you can guarantee us a price of more than $40 a barrel, we're not going to put the money in. George Bush guaranteed them that price because of the war against Iraq, pushed the price of oil through the roof. And it wasn't only, I mean, it wasn't, in so many areas, you know, that basically, you know, pumped up the U.S. economy, or at least staved off crisis. But then there were two downsides: a huge price run-up. You know, it benefited the oil companies, it benefited the dollar, it benefited the banks, but it had two downsides. One was that it strengthened economically the independence of Russia, Iran, Venezuela, the ALBA bloc in Latin America, because Ecuador and Venezuela and Bolivia all have oil. And the other downside is capitalism itself, because capitalists do what they always do. The profits are high, and they produce and produce and invest more. And in 2011, it all came crashing down. The price of oil began to fall. And this crisis in oil production, when the prices began to fall, it caused a rift inside the U.S. ruling class that's reflected in the rift alleged rift of Saudi Arabia and Israel. Because Naomi was talking about World War One, but actually for the last since for decades now, long before the U.S. imported and robbed America for Iranian oil, half the overseas profits the U.S. companies made from the oil fields in the Middle East came from Iran, Iranian petroleum. But not only does the profit pentagon in the world of Wall Street, banks, and the world economy, the status of the dollar as the world's reserve currency, floated on Arabian oil, augmented by Israeli guns. It's the U.S. guns in the hands of Israel. If you go back to the end of World War II, which tens of millions of people died, including 400,000 U.S. soldiers, Soviet people, but for the U.S. ruling class, many of them were thrown out before the war. It was the best thing that ever happened. The destruction of the world, the destruction all around the world, left the U.S. to the center of the world economy. And three critical events today. One is that the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944, which made the dollar the world's reserve currency. You know, at that time, at the end of World War II, like 50% of the world's industrial production was the United States. Europe was devastated, Japan was devastated, Soviet Union was devastated. The colonial world was under, Africa and much of Asia were still under colonial rule and unable to develop. The dollar was made the world's reserve currency. In 1945, President Roosevelt met with King Aziz Abdul Saud on the deck of the destroyer Quincy, in which basically the Rockefellers had created the Arabian American oil. But in 45, they made an agreement basically where the Saudi Arabia would become a U.S. colony. Yes, the agreement with Roosevelt and the case. You can build bases here. You market our oil. You own our oil. And the U.S. part of the deal is we keep you in power. 3 years later, Harry Truman forced through the United Nations Palestine and created the State of Israel, which basically was the taking over of the Zionist settler colonial movement talking about by the United States from Britain. And by doing that, and this was we talked about sectarian violence in the Middle East today. The first major sectarian violence in the modern Middle East was exposing people from their homes, create a racist apartheid state based on religion. And it's also the U.S.'s largest, General Haig called it, Alexander Haig, who Reagan's Secretary of State, called Israel the largest U.S. aircraft carrier in the world, the only one that made it. It's functioned as a U.S. military base in 19, because if it were not for the military role of Israel, the monarchies of the Arab nationalist wave swept across the Arab world in the 50s, 60s, beginning with the Egyptian Revolution in 1952 and the Algerian War for Independence in 1954, would have overthrown the Saudi monarchy, would have swept away the crown royal families of the Arabian Gulf. And what saved them was the 67 War, when Israel occupied the Sinai, occupied the Golan Heights and Suez Canal, and basically tipped the balance by its blows against the nationalist government in Egypt, Nasser in Egypt and in Syria. It tipped the balance in the Arab world in favor of monarchist forces. And this was actually, it was critical to the U.S. victory in the Cold War. Because this time when Israel bailed out U.S. interests in the world, in the words of the U.S.'s own politicians, the U.S. was tied up in Vietnam, and the Vietnam War, the cost of the Vietnam War on the top of the cost of the global empire, had thrown the U.S. to stabilize the dollar. There were many, to pay for the war, the U.S. was printing many more dollars than there were gold. The dollar was the only currency exchanged for gold. The U.S. was printing many more dollars than there was gold to back it up in not. And so in 1973, Richard Nixon set the dollar off the gold standard. And this was possible because of the Saudi Arabia, the Shah of Iran, agreed, made a promise that the dollar be supported. Oil would only be traded in dollars. And allowed the U.S. ever since as many dollars as it wants, run an unlimited deficit. And so you have this triangle where basically all these countries have huge dollar reserves. We're suddenly told there's no, they all had checks, we're told there's no money in the bank. So they desperately tried to profit the U.S. dollar by investing in U.S. security. And what gives the U.S. security's value is what's the largest asset of the U.S. government? The military. What gives the military and arms value? War. So you have a constant, basically the Middle East has been at war to prop up Wall Street and U.S. oil company since the 1940s, and especially the 1970s. And what happened when the oil crash began in 2013 was that the Obama administration took a play, page out of John D. Rockefeller's play, which is a predatory price. They decided that they would run with the falling oil prices, work with the Saudis to try and destroy the economies of Venezuela, of Russia, of Iran, with the feeling that basically corporate America is big enough to handle this. This is what Rockefeller was. Standard Oil of Ohio did their because 1870s when they drove their competitors out of business. Wall Street, they had access to more capital so they could take a loss. In fact, this speaks to the ExxonMobil being the big winner in the oil price. And what it did though was create a rift inside the U.S. ruling class between those who invested most heavily in fracking and domestic production, between those and those like bigger oil companies. Or connected with or overseas. That's like ExxonMobil, like Chevron, Texas, stuff like AK, which I think is really heavy with Morgan Chase. And so when you see the alliance of the Republican Party, Likud, and Netanyahu against the Obama administration, and then you see also the Republicans attacking Saudi Arabia. Behind 9/11. The Saudi Arabian House of Saudi was a monstrous regime. It's probably definitely behind ISIS, enabling ISIS, enabling the terrorism in Syria. It had nothing to do with 9/11. Saudi Arabia is owned, locked, has no independence. It's a U.S. plantation. J.P. Morgan Chase manages its treasury. ExxonMobil and the four horsemen, ExxonMobil, they're controlling oil and shale. And Chevron Texaco controls its oil industry. Northrop Grumman controls its military. You can't do anything without on its own. There is a struggle inside the U.S. ruling class over who's wanting to drive up the price of the war. And Obama's strategy devastates the economy. We have war raging now in Yemen, a U.S. proxy war, U.S. made F-16s, U.S. made for dropping U.S. made bombs, flown by U.S. planes, U.S. trained Saudi pilots, are massacring the people of Yemen every day. In Syria, there's a proxy war being funded by the United States, by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the U.S. largest increase in armaments. Iran bailed out the U.S. Show was over from 79. Jason Hattentag was the biggest depositor, and the U.S. military industrial complex was the biggest thing. Israel gets more than that. And Saudi Arabia is at the plan. So you have a security war raging in Syria, and you have the daily murder of for children are being murdered by U.S. armed Israeli soldiers. They're still bombing Gaza, blockading Gaza. Remember Nancy and I were there right after the 2009 war, and there was another war last year. It was a mess. Right. Everything Israel is nothing but a part of the U.S. state, I believe. And necessary to value. The wars that are raging are being enabled for the purpose of keeping the United States, Wall Street, and the military-industrial complex at the center of the world's economy. At this point, there's nowhere. They have nothing to keep them going to destruction. Only destruction can try and maintain an obsolete, economically obsolete situation where the all the financial avenues of the world should flow through Wall Street, which is no longer justifiable in the world's pay. Sure. And just real quick, there's also a documentary that we should look up called Egypt's Lost Power, which it was banned at first when it came out. It's a documentary on how Egypt used to supply Israel with oil. And when Mubarak was taken down, that, I guess, stopped. And so the contract was voided, right? Well, they were in breach of the contract, and now Israel owns, or Israel is not paying for it. There's something you should watch. It's called Egypt's Lost Power. It breaks down that whole deal between Israel and Egypt. So that Egypt lost power. It might be hard to find it because they kept taking it down. It was on I want to say it was on Al Jazeera. It was a documentary that was part of one of those. But people kept reloading, re-uploading. So definitely try and check that out. It really breaks down the Egypt Israel oil relationship. more about the fact that I think it's more democratic government in those regions, which they don't want to have. They could develop their own. But as far as now, John Kerry and Sherry from Cabo, Tom Green, the former military leader, John Biden, General Hopkins, and he can dictate the terms of economic, military, and strategic affairs in relationship to U.S. interests in North Africa. So I think it's very important to money that's possible. Military. Even in Yemen, U.S. and U.S. people carry out historic countries. And you don't even hear anything about it. You know, people who watch press TV or RT, they talk about it. But you watch CNN, CBS, even Al Jazeera. One of the main challenges is to get good information about they may propose that these countries are isolated from factors that are not in the country. But that's not the information. This is not a country. I think it's our town, which was carved out of Colombia. It doesn't exist. You know, they built it largely to facilitate U.S. competition in South America. I think the question is more to mention that tomorrow morning we have another panel which is going to deal with the economic crisis and how it's impacted international relations. We look at Russia, recently in Brazil, total undermining of all areas of the Venezuela. And they're threatened to invade Paraguay, Argentina is moving across to the right. You know, Colombia, of course, is the U.S. military. But psychiatrist? Okay. What do you mean by that? Well, France, the number of different needs Depends upon scarcity. Otherwise, it's a bust, and that's ultimately what's driving the existence of these huge war industry. Nothing except things to be blown up. And actually, I'd like to stay on the topic at hand, which is the Middle East. Yes, sir. I suggest you organize a panel on this point. But we have a panel on another point, which is what's happening right now, what's the driving force of the wars that are going on in the Arab world right now in the Middle East, and why what the U.S. is doing there, and the fact that corporations have a pressing – I mean, to a corporate CEO, what they look at is rate of return and what are we going to get the next quarter. They have no choice but to look at anything else. Look at anything else. They cannot think about anything else because capital cannot remain idle. It must expand or die. And we will have, ultimately, you know, the two past world wars were unthinkable. We will have another one unless the people intervene to stop it. Perkins, especially economic kidnapping, you talked about. But, okay, well, they do that all the time. But, sir, you had your hand up?
There's a contradiction between Obama's administration
made that to himself. I think most non-presidents of the United States can make any decision independent from the corporation. The Middle East to stop to the east of Asia from planting creating chaos with China is the corporate decision. Of course, there are some local interests. Now, okay, if you're gonna change the strategy, Iran's gonna be strong, Soviet Union is gonna be strong, but somewhere they have to converge, united, how to handle this. This is what the heck. Of course, the ambition is loose. Not so many, Colombia, very much closer to the industrial so they create their own pressure for the other section of the country to adjust the policy so they make the conversion easier. As a matter of fact, there is a process of doing that part of the Iran was governed. One section is good because it broke the system of the market. The other section is bad. On these, the non-liberal forces decided to so, that's why the news are confused. That is not wrong. We can trust this, and Iran forces can trust the non-liberal.
There's a scene where Sean Connery is tied to a
They are compelled to, they are capitalizing their own system to survive. That's how decayed and desperate and rotten the system has become. Why it has to go. So referring to adults, remember when the whole plot of Goldfinger was sponsored by Rob Ford Cup. And Connery asked Goldfinger, well, then you think days and days to get all the gold out of Fort Knox trucks. How can you do that? But of course, the idea wasn't to take the gold. It was that they could use their bombers and somebody for the gold to be unusable, and that would push up the price of the stocks that Goldfinger had hoarded. And that's really where U.S. imperialism is at, the U.S. economic system is at right now. They call it capital flight imperialism. But basically, they depend on war pushing the world's wealth into the U.S. That's why real estate is shooting through the roof in Manhattan and across the country, because rich people from around the world are putting their money here because here the U.S. won't bomb in a very simplified term. Oh, okay. All right, okay. Thank you. We have 5 more minutes. Thank you. Geostrategic reasons, the Clinton administration is begging oil companies to build this pipeline. They said, no, it's not worth it for the price. Once the war in Iraq happened, the pipeline was built. There were so many things that were made possible and profitable by that war and by the continuing wars in Libya, by the sanctions on Iran, but it inevitably hit the wall of capitalist overproduction and
service corporations like Halliburton and others who made so much money. This is public money. Just give them blank checks to charge people whatever because they know the U.S. working class have people to pay for those bills. And, it's still going on right now. The Pentagon, I believe, is the largest user of oil. So when they have these wars, you know, it does profit the oil corporation. I live in Detroit. I don't know. I'm built there.
Greetings. You're listening to the Pan-African Journal. We're broadcasting live from the Left Forum, New York City, at City University of New York, John Jay College. And I just heard part of a panel discussion on the Middle East, so-called Middle East, encompassing Western Asia and North Africa, and the role of U.S. imperialism and European imperialism for the last century. And tomorrow we'll also be broadcasting from the Left Forum in New York. So please tune in tomorrow to continue this dialogue around world affairs from a left perspective. This is Abayomi Azikiwe, and you've been listening to the Pan-African Journal.
Yeah.